Thank you, Mr. Bulerowski. You know, it's interesting. Maybe it wasn't just me, but I've noticed there was a marked change in the weather this week. It was the first week that I really didn't have to wear a jacket when I went to work. I've also noticed that a lot of my trees that have dropped their leaves, the leaves are starting to bud again. And actually, my grass, for what it's worth, is actually starting to go green. It's just beginning, so I'm actually thinking about turning on my sprinkler again. I know a lot of you had talked about my orange tree. I'm getting really close to start to turning on the sprinkler, so this time next year, we're going to have a whole bunch of oranges. But another thing I've noticed was when you go to Walmart, Kroger, or CVS, or any other store, or many other stores, they've done some remodeling. And they've remodeled, and they've created at least one full row, if not one full section, for nothing but Easter candy. Now, based on a little bit of research, and according to, infoplease.com, they said Americans consume on the order of $2.5 billion worth of Easter candy annually. And that equates to approximately 130 million pounds. A lot of chocolate and jelly beans. I think the cherry jelly bean, they said, is the popular brand. But to the Catholic Church, Good Friday and Easter Sunday are among some of the most important holidays. And it's marked with, it's marked with Easter celebrations, you know, family get-togethers, sunrise service, Easter egg hunts, along with various other Easter traditions. And the interesting thing is, it's not only the Catholics that do this. It's most other Christian religions that follow suit and do exactly the same thing. If you were to show up on Easter Sunday outside our house, Russell Parkway would be packed before sunrise with the cars going in to celebrate Easter sunrise service. So today, what I decided I would do, and I think it would be important, I decided it would be important to review Easter. Where did it come from? And more importantly, I'll discuss a few reasons why we don't keep it. Now, one thing I found with this, I've done things similar to this for things like Halloween and Christmas. And from a speaker's perspective, I found those two to be fairly simple. This one, on the other hand, got pretty muddled, and it was a little bit more complicated. And it was more complicated because of its close association by the Catholic Church to Passover. But we'll get into all of that in just a moment. So, first of all, what is Easter? Easter is a festival that is celebrated by millions of people honoring the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead after the 3 days, 3 days after his crucifixion, as described by the New Testament. It's celebrated also as renewing of life. It's a celebration also where children wait for the Easter Bunny to come and bring baskets of candy. Many, like I mentioned, Christians will celebrate this Easter Sunday by attending sunrise service, which is supposed to be related to the time when Jesus Christ rose on Easter Sunday at sunrise. But it's usually then followed by an Easter meal that includes the Easter ham. And then you have the Easter egg hunts. And ultimately, this whole celebration is to celebrate the rebirth. And I would like to focus on that one. It is emphasizing a rebirth of life, because that is the piece that keeps coming up over and over again in my research. Rebirth of life and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now, where did it all come from? Now, according to scholars, and one scholar I was reading from was named Dr. Tony Nugent. He's a teacher of theology from religious studies at Seattle University. The Easter story actually dates way back to the Sumerian legend of Tammuz and Ishtar, which is with the epic myth called the Descent of Inanna. And that is actually another name for Ishtar. And it was found on cuneiform tablets. This story was found in cuneiform tablets that date back to about 2100 BC. That's over 2,000 years before Christ. That is actually 600 or 700 years prior to the Exodus. Now, the way the story goes, and this can be substantiated by numerous sources, that Tammuz, oh, and by the way, as another side note, Tammuz is probably somebody we in the church are very familiar with, because Tammuz has been worshipped through many sources say Tammuz was worshipped as the reincarnation of the sun god Nimrod. And his birthday took place on December 25th. So the interesting thing for me on that note is that, wait, Christmas and Easter are related. So now, back to the story. Ishtar, or Anan, whatever you want to pronounce her name, she's an old Mesopotamian goddess of war, sex, and fertility. Now the story is, Tammuz dies, and Ishtar, in her grief, follows him down to the underworld. And while she was spent her 3 days in the underworld, she was stripped naked, she was judged and killed and hung on display. But in her absence, the real world started to die. Plants died, animals wouldn't reproduce. So many of the pagan gods were concerned. So they went down and they had and it turned out it was a water god, and I don't know his name, but in her absence, the water god returned, or went to the underworld, and gave Tammuz and Ishtar the power to return to Earth for 6 months. Thus begins the death and life cycle of winter. Things die in the winter, and then springtime, things start coming back to life. 6 months later, you get to the late fall, winter, things start to die off again. Now, this story of resurrection, the resurrection of Tammuz and Ishtar, is not a new one. I mean, it's been in just about every culture. From the Egyptians, for instance, have the story of Horus and Mithras. And Mithras was the Egyptian goddess that was worshipped in the spring. And then there was the Roman goddess who had the Roman god of Dionysus, who had the same thing happen. He died, went to the underworld, and he was resurrected by his grandmother. Now, there's another related story about Easter that actually comes from, and this is one we're probably all familiar with, Estra. Or it goes from, she also goes by the name Ostara, Estra, or Istra. Hence the term Easter. She is the goddess of spring. Now, she is the pagan goddess of spring that is the celebration of renewal, resurrection, rebirth, and fertility. And her rebirth is tied with the sun. There is no accident, by the way, that the celebration for these sun gods or this rebirth is tied in to the spring equinox. Now, for those that are not familiar with the cycle of the sun, we're familiar with the winter solstice, which is right around Christmas time. That is the shortest day of the year. And right after the winter solstice, days get longer. Then you hit spring, and you get the spring equinox. And that is the day where the length of time of night is equal to the daylight portion. And then you move past the spring equinox, and then the daylight period of the 24 hours becomes longer than the nighttime hours. Hence, you have more sunlight, plants grow, my grass turns green, buds start to come on, and it's not surprising too, that's when the birds lay their eggs, that's when the deer in the woods, they have their fawns. It's all in the springtime. And it's all associated with the sun. Now, it gets a little muddled at this point, and this is where I was talking about it muddled. It gets a little bit complicated because most scholars will acknowledge that Estra or Ishtar or some of those names is the actual regular name, or it's the name for Easter. It's where Easter came from. But in many European countries, they actually use the Latin form of Easter, which is Pascha, which then is derived from the Hebrew Pesh, meaning Passover. And this is where the connection becomes, and this is where things kind of get a little bit complicated. Because Easter, because of the name that that's used, can get tied very, very closely with Passover. And in many cases, scholars or historians will interchange it freely. Estar, Easter, and Pascha, you know, Passover, they're completely interchangeable. But there are some major, major differences that we know about. First thing, Passover is tied to the Hebrew calendar, the 14th day. And it commemorates, secondly, the death of Jesus Christ. That we all know. Easter, in contrast, has no specific day. It does float. And it is tied to the spring equinox. It's really kind of convoluted how they actually came to that day as well. But it's tied to the spring equinox when the sun starts getting closer to the earth starts warming up, and the days start getting longer. Basically, the death associated with winter starts going away. Now, in the early Catholic Church, many of the Catholic Christians kept Easter on, what day do you think? Passover, the 14th. They would keep Passover and Easter on the same day. But there was one big difference. The big difference was they were not celebrating the Jewish Passover. As the Jews would be the death angel coming over in Exodus 12, or as we would worship it, or as we commemorate it, the death of Jesus Christ in 31 AD, as the early Christians did, what the Catholic Church celebrated it as was the resurrection of Christ. But there was a debate in that early Catholic Church. Many of them believed that Christ was raised on Sunday. But they were still keeping it on the 14th. Caused a big, big debate. Then it came up with, and this name, this came up with the argument called the Quartodeciman controversy. Now, Quartodeciman comes from the term 14. And really what that's all about is a summary, and you really can't talk about Easter without at least addressing the Quartodeciman controversy. It basically means, when do you keep Easter? Do we keep Easter on Easter Sunday? Or do we keep it like the Jews do? When I say the Jews, you know what I mean. You do keep it at the same time as dictated in the Bible for the Passover on the 14th. They did not want to do that. So, in 325 AD, Emperor Constantine, and we've heard stories about Emperor Constantine, he's come and gone throughout. He's been involved with just about all of the transitions. The transition from Saturday to Sunday, the institution of Christmas, and here again, he's involved with the institution of Easter as we know it today. in 325 AD, Emperor Constantine held the Council of Nicaea to resolve the dispute in the church on when Easter should be kept. Now, he did, at the end of the council, he wrote a letter to all the bishops that were unable to attend and decided, and it was his decision, how to adopt a uniform day and reject the custom of the Jews because they, quote, sacrificed Christ. I'd like to at least quote portions of the letter that was written, that he wrote to his bishops. I found it rather interesting. This was Emperor Constantine writing. It was resolved by the united judgment of all present at the Council of Nicaea that this feast, Easter, ought to be kept by all and in every place on one and the same day. And the first of it, and first of all, it appeared an unworthy thing that the celebration of the most holy feast, Easter, we should follow the practice of the Jews who have impiously defiled their hands with enormous sin and are therefore deservingly afflicted with blindness of soul. For we have it in our power, if we abandon their customs, focus on abandon their customs, to prolong the due observance of this ordinance to future ages by a truer order, which we have preserved from every day of the Passion until the present time. Again, let us then have nothing in common with the detestable Jewish crowd, for we have received from our Savior a different way, a course at one legitimate and honorable lies out of our most holy region. Beloved brethren, let us with one consent adopt this course and withdraw ourselves from all the participation in the Jewish baseness. Why then should we follow those who are confessed in grievous error? It is then plainly that the will of the divine providence, that this usage should receive fitting correction and be reduced to one uniform rule. So, what did Emperor Constantine say? His intent to de-Judaize the early Catholic Church. It was de-Judaized when they changed from Saturday to Sunday, and it's de-Judaized when they were making that break from the 14th Passover, as we know from Leviticus 23, to the Easter Sunday. And by the way, it did another thing, which was just as despicable. Many Catholics, theologians, even to this day, point to that episode in the Council of Nicaea as evidence of papal primacy and authority of the early church. So what that is doing, it's used the example that we can change it because the Pope said so. That is our authority. We do not have to look to the Scripture. So, when is Easter kept because of that? What did they decide? Easter now is decided that Easter shall fall on the first Sunday. This is complicated here. It's on the first Sunday after the first full moon following the spring equinox. Now, the sources I read said, well, it's tied to the full moon, just like Passover. That's wrong. It's tied to the equinox, which is the sun. Unlike the Passover, which is tied to the Easter calendar, like I said, the emphasis is Easter is tied to the sun. So now, one of the other things, one tradition that is associated with Easter are the bunnies. Of course, the Bible makes no mention of the long-eared, short-tailed bunnies delivering eggs to well-behaved children. Where did they come from? Well, that's a pretty straightforward one. The rabbits happen to be a fertility symbol associated with Estra, the goddess of the springtime. And according to Germanic legend, that Ostra healed a wounded bird that she found in the woods by changing it into a rabbit. Still partially a bird, the rabbit showed gratitude to the goddess by laying eggs as gifts. But nothing represents fertility like a rabbit. Hence you have the term breeds like rabbits. Again, where do the eggs come from? A similar deal. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, eggs have always been a symbol of fertility and of renewed life, and it goes back as far as to the ancient Egypts and Persians, who had a common custom of coloring and eating eggs during the spring festival. In ancient Egypt, an egg symbolized the sun, while with the Babylonians, the egg represented the hatching of Venus Ishtar, who fell to the earth on the Euphrates. Does it really, that begs the real question, does it really matter if we celebrate the death of Christ that paid the debt for our sins, or we celebrate the renewal of life at Christ's resurrection? Well, of course it doesn't, or it does matter. Oh, where did I go? Yeah, of course, it absolutely does matter. But according to a source, one of my major sources, which I found also kind of interesting, it was an article entitled, "Is Easter Pagan in Origin and Roots?" It comes from Christianity.com and is written by Candace Lucy on the 21st of January, 2022. At the beginning of her article, she freely states, "All the fun things about Easter are pagan. Bunnies are leftover from the pagan festival of Estra." But she ends her article in an interesting way. I grabbed some of this information from her. But she goes through her article discussing the things that I just communicated to you. But she ends her article in an interesting way. "Easter is only a name, adopted and transformed over the centuries to become a Christ-centered reference. However, using the name Easter is not a problem because the origin of the word does not mean the word is bad. Christians remember that Jesus, after dying on the cross, rose from the dead and showing that life could win over death. For Christians, the egg is a symbol of the tomb, while cracking the egg represents Christ's resurrection. In the Orthodox tradition, eggs are painted red to symbolize the blood Jesus shed on the cross. Easter traditions," this is the focus here, Easter traditions can be redeemed, and the fun of Easter is still permissible." And her last sentence, "Mythology has bequeathed us with painted eggs and chocolate. Short-term amusement, nothing as the short-term amusement, but nothing is as joyous or lasting as believers' hope in Christ." So what did she just say? She said, it doesn't really matter now, does it? Well, the question is, does it matter? So let's go to open our Bible and just review a couple scriptures here. First of all, first and foremost, Leviticus 23. You can't talk about Passover without mentioning Leviticus 23. And in verse 4. "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy consecrations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month, at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. And at the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread." It's simple. It's straightforward. Passover. We are to keep Passover. But another thing that I quoted before, and I've quoted again, and Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. Oh, actually, let me go back. We'll get back to Deuteronomy 12. One I want to catch first is one from Christ in Matthew 15. So, what did Candace Lucy say? And we can talk about that. She said it was okay. Didn't matter. But in Matthew 15 and verse 7, what Christ says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So does it matter that you run around, that people are running around with the bunnies and the Easter eggs and going to sunrise service? It matters. It matters, and it's in vain according to Christ. Now let's go back to Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. And in verse 28. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy 12 and verse 28. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. Observe and obey all these words which I, the Lord, command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever. When you do what is good and is right in the sight of the Lord your God. In verse 29, when the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land. Verse 30, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed before you, that you do not inquire after their God, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Verse 30, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it nor take away from it. So, can we actually roll sunrise service and the chocolate bunnies and Easter eggs into our worship with Christ? According to Deuteronomy 12, absolutely not. There's one last scripture I'd like to go to. But you know, when we go through, when we think about Christmas for a moment, and we think about scriptures associated with Christmas, where do we go? Jeremiah 10, right? Because that's where it talks about the Christmas tree. It's fairly obvious. Well, there is actually one that is just as obvious with Easter. It's just as obvious. Ezekiel 8. And the title on this whole chapter is Abominations in the Temple. And he's talking, the Lord is talking about some abominations in the temple. And we'll jump down and start in verse 13. And he said to me, talking, this was Isaiah or Ezekiel, turn again, and you will see greater abominations that you are doing. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for who? Tammuz. Who is Tammuz? The pagan god who is the, quote, the son of Nimrod. They were weeping for the death of Tammuz. And in verse 15, then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? Turn again, you shall see greater abominations than this. And he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house, and there at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs to the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. And they were worshiping the sun toward the east. Aha! How about Easter sunrise services. And then in verse 18, verse 17, and he said to me, "Have you seen this, O son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah to commit abominations which they have committed here? For they have filled the land with violence. Then they return to provoke me to anger. Indeed, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will act in fury. My eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. Though they cry in my ears, I will not hear them." So, when you see the families taking these pretty pictures, you know, they go to the photographers, the family all gets dressed up in their Sunday best for Easter. They have their nifty meals, and I'll tell you, some of that Easter candy is really good. But when people celebrate Easter, does the Lord care? Does it matter? The answer is, it absolutely matters.